This past Tuesday, Barack Obama delivered the annual State of the Union address. Now, while many consider the speech to be a traditional shopping list of second-term priorities, some call the speech a state of confusion. Others even labeled it state of denial, especially when it comes to foreign policy. Here with his analysis of the speech is a senior writer on defense and foreign policy for the Washington Examiner, Chuck Hoskinson. Good morning, Chuck.
Thanks for having me.
And, of course, at WashingtonExaminer.com on the web. Came up with someone did a count of keywords for the State of the Union speech, and just real brief, I'm not going to run down the whole list here, but jobs was the top 19 times. Obama mentioned that. Economy 18, Congress 13, College 12. Go down the list, you see terrorist mentioned 7 times. We have war 3 times, Afghanistan 3 times, ISIL twice. Is it safe to say that foreign policy and national defense was not exactly a priority of the speech Tuesday night?
Well, foreign policy and national defense have not exactly been a priority of the Obama administration at all. The president really only focuses on it when he has to, especially when it comes to foreign policy. And as you see, the president still believes, you see from the speech Tuesday night, the president still believes that he is moving on from the wars of the post 9/11 period.
Or turn the page was his phrase.
Still, both of them actually are still going on quite nicely.
And of course, he also seems to be intent on negotiating with Iran, which, not knowing what goes on, obviously no one does behind the scenes. But isn't it safe to assume that Iran wants to use the negotiating table to play out the clock so they can develop whatever nuclear capabilities they're able to develop over the course of the time that they're dragging their feet at the negotiation tables?
Well, there are a lot of people who are shaking their heads right now and looking at what the president says and does on foreign policy and wondering what world he lives in, because they don't see the same world. And what's happening on Iran is that the president is taking a very hard line with Congress. He has not. There's no evidence that he's tried to negotiate on this issue at all. And there's a growing number of people in Congress, including some Democrats, who just simply do not trust his approach, his negotiating strategy. They don't trust the administration to deal properly with Iran. And we're headed towards a situation where Congress is going to pass some kind of legislation that would impose sanctions if a deal fails by this next deadline, which is June 30th.
Right.
And it will pass by a veto-proof majority in both houses.
We actually even had New Jersey Senator Robert Menendez say that Obama sounds like he's getting his talking points out of Tehran.
Well, Menendez, you know, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee had a hearing on Wednesday about this issue, and Menendez was hammering the administration officials harder than some Republicans were doing.
Seems, too, that Obama thinks that all is well with Yemen. He seems like, you know, the success, there's been success there, and ironically, earlier that day, there was a bit of turmoil in Yemen.
Well, the problem with al-Qaeda in Yemen is extremely important. The U.S. counterterrorism war again in Yemen is extremely important. Al-Qaeda is being kept down there through the use, essentially, of drones, but the drones are guided by intelligence that's provided from the Yemenis on the ground. Now the government is completely collapsed. Our ability to get intelligence has completely collapsed. The question of whether the United States could even send drones to attack terrorist targets in Yemen is up in the air. And there's no the best the Obama administration can come up with from a statement is, we urge all parties to avoid violence at this time and work out their issues. And that's not even discussing the potential threat to Saudi Arabia posed by the rebels in Yemen at a time when the Saudi king has just died.
Obama sounded more like a judge talking to a domestic abuse case more than he did talking to foreign countries.
Well, when you talk about the Middle East, one of the things that has colored the Arab world's perception of the Obama administration's foreign policy, Israel's reaction to Obama's outreach to Iran gets a lot of the headlines. But what a lot of people don't pay attention to is the fact that the Arabs are also concerned that Obama is trying so hard to make nice to Iran that he wants to sell them out. that Obama is really trying to divest the U.S. of the Middle East and outsource its security to Tehran.
Talking with Chuck Hoskinson, who is senior writer on defense and Washington and foreign policy for the Washington Examiner, WashingtonExaminer.com on the web. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. This is a line from the State of the Union speech from Obama. In Iraq and Syria, American leadership, including our military power, is stopping the Islamic State's advance. Now, last I heard anything calculated, ISIS owns a third of Iraq and Syria. They've gained territory in Syria since after the U.S.-led bombing campaign started. And Obama made the claim that it's a coalition where, again, I've heard estimates are 80 to 90% of the work is being done by the U.S.
Well, it is a coalition in the sense that, I mean, you know, ISIS is a direct existential threat to Saudi Arabia. That's why they're using their air force to bomb. ISIS is a direct existential threat to a lot of other Arab nations that are involved in the coalition. So they are out there. I think the concern, which was expressed by the Iraqi prime minister a couple of days ago, is whether the U.S. is doing enough. Because there are a lot of things that only the U.S. can do in this situation. And the administration is really trying to kind of take this war very, very, very slowly, very cautiously, when there are indications that it might require decisive action now and not tomorrow.
How much has this administration basically forgotten Russia and all of their aggression? And if there is a blind eye to Russia, is there a risk where Russia becomes an empowerment or an enabler for anything that's happening right now in the Middle East?
Well, it's almost like they're playing whack-a-mole. I mean, you see that things are heating up in Ukraine right now, and it's a good possibility that things are heating up in Ukraine right now because the U.S. is focusing heavily on the Middle East. And if the U.S. turned its attention to put pressure on Russia, things will start probably heating up in the Middle East again, or in Asia, or somewhere else. Another problem is the convergence between these two issues. The U.S. depends on Russian help to deal with Iran. Russia is one of the P5+1 powers. The U.S. depends on Russian help. Well, the U.S. administration has chosen to depend on Russian help to try to negotiate an exit of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. And this is happening at the same time that the United States is sanctioning Russia for its actions in Ukraine.
Does it appear that this administration, they have a plan, a one-step plan? I mean, pick any instance, any geographic point, and when that plan is enacted, is it always incomplete, and they always have the absence of, okay, now what's next?
Well, it appears that the administration's plan is reactive. There's a lot of feeling, even in the mainstream foreign policy community, even among people who supported and advised Obama, that the administration doesn't have an overall plan, doesn't have an overall strategy, that the foreign policy is too reactive, too focused on political responses and not enough on strategic responses.
Wrapping our time with Chuck Hoskinson, who is senior writer on defense and foreign policy for the Washington Examiner, WashingtonExaminer.com, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Albeit superficial, but it seems like habitually the Obama administration really likes to insult or give a back of the hand to Israel any possible chance they can get. Obviously, we all know now when Benjamin Netanyahu comes to address the joint session of Congress on, I think it's February 11th, the Obama White House said they're not going to meet with the prime minister, with the line being that's because there's elections going on, they don't want to appear to be in endorsing any aspect of the Israeli elections. But what does that snub do to Israel's image, or what does that do on the flip side as far as how they react for their next steps?
Well, the administration, when it comes to Israel, is really focused on its own goals. I mean, what the Obama administration, by Obama's own statement, his two major goals in the Middle East are to achieve a nuclear deal with Iran and Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement. Okay, so, I mean, they know that the only way they're going to get an Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement is to pressure Israel hard enough to make sufficient concessions to get a deal that the Palestinians will sign. What they don't, but the mistake they're making is that these two issues are linked. I mean, Iran is conducting a proxy war against Israel. The Israelis just killed an Iranian general on the Golan Heights, right outside the Israeli border in Syria. He was reportedly doing reconnaissance for a potential attack on Israeli towns. So the Iranians are conducting a proxy war against Israel. The Israelis aren't going to make any concessions to the Palestinians that they think will open the door for them to be at risk. And besides, they're negotiating with the Palestinian government that doesn't control what they consider to be the principal threat to their country, the missiles that Hezbollah has,
right,
the threat from Iran. The Palestinian leadership has no influence over those people. So the Israelis make concessions to Abu Mazen for peace, and they get a deal, and the next day Hezbollah launches missiles against northern Israel because Abu Mazen has no control over that. Well, then what kind of peace is it? But the administration seems to believe that Israel is the obstacle to their goals in the Middle East, and it's their own unrealistic thinking that's the real obstacle.
He is a senior writer on defense and foreign policy for the Washington Examiner. Of course, it's washingtonexaminer.com on the web. Chuck Hoskinson, thanks so much for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me.